like to thank Dr. Brown for those words of welcome today. First of all, on behalf of Carrie Duff, FPC, let me convey our deepest sympathy to the Coulter and the whole of the Irwin family in the very sad and sudden departure of our brother to glory. Reverend Brown has already made mention that the church here in Martyrs will be poor for Billy's home call, and that will be definitely true, not only here in Martyrs, but true in Carrie Duff, and I suppose true in all our lives at this time. I would love to take time this morning and tell you how I first met Billy Coulter at the Martyrs' door here as the Martyrs' doorkeeper, and then, of course, we came together a lot closer through the late Ernest and Ida Patterson. They asked me to do the executor of their will, along with the late Billy and, of course, his wife Amy, and that brought us into regular contact with each other. But he was indeed a gentleman. He was a gem, as Dr. Brown has described, a good man, a gracious man. He was a giving man. He gave of his time. He gave of his love, and it was lovely to hear the reading from the girls today. And he gave himself, he gave his money to the Lord's work, and he gave it because he had a deep, a passionate love for the Lord. I ask today that you rejoice and we give thanks to the Lord as we have been singing, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. I'm going to just have a very short reading. I want to read the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to share some thoughts. I'm glad I'm not preaching on Psalm 84, verse 10, but I leave that to another time. Psalm 23 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just bow momentarily in prayer. Lord, we commit ourselves to thee now. We thank thee for thy presence with us in this service of thanksgiving for the late Billy Coulter. And we just ask thee now that thou will continue to linger with us. Apply thy word and let it be a word of comfort, even for the dear family, and a word of counsel for all who hear it, and for any here who are not saved, don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not redeemed. We pray you'll bring them, we ask in Jesus' name, to a saving knowledge of Christ now. Be the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies to us as we turn to thy precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, as I was asked to bring a message this morning, late last evening on the way home from County Antrim, my thoughts as I was driving turned to the 23rd Psalm. And there's five wonderful things in this psalm that I want to leave with you as we finish. I want you to think first of all of the wonder of relationship. Think of these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, Billy Coulter could say this. Billy Coulter could sing it in truth. There was a day in his life when he saw himself as a lost sheep. A day when he recognized that Jesus Christ was a seeking Savior. And he come to that Savior. He is redeemed by the precious blood. He was reconciled to God. When and where did it happen? Well, the date and the exact circumstances is unknown to me. You see, you've already heard from Dr. Brown. Brother Billy had a tremendous way of getting to know all about you. But when you asked Billy certain things, he was very coy. I think it was that policeman thing came in about giving you exact details. And he just always told me it was when he was a young person, when he was a teenager. And I suppose, like the psalmist in Psalm 71, he could say, "From my youth, thou hast been my trust." Notice here in the text, it's not a shepherd. It's not the shepherd, although that would be true. It's my shepherd. Personal pronoun. There was a day in Billy's life when the shepherd became his, and he became the shepherd's. He could say, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Notice the reference here to the word Lord. It's in capitals. It's a reference to Jehovah. And who is the shepherd? His identity is revealed for us in the New Testament in particular. In John chapter 10, three times the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Paul called him that great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews 13, verse 20. Peter described him as this, when the chief shepherd shall appear, 1 Peter 5 and 4. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is that good shepherd, a reference to his character, internally and externally. He did no sin, he knew no sin, in him was no sin. He is that great shepherd, there's none like him. He stands head and shoulders above everyone else. He's that chief shepherd because they're all under him. We who are ministers of the gospel are under shepherds of Christ. And there's many titles and wonderful names where he's given to us in the scriptures where we can begin to think and comprehend something about him, whereby he reveals himself to us. But here's one of the most precious, one of the most truths that's loved by the people of God. The shepherd and sheep relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. There was a social one time in a certain church. There was various professional singers took part, and there was this professional singer, and he was a great man for hitting the right notes, the tenor notes and the bass notes and the altos. He sang the 23rd Psalm, and he sang it perfect, word perfect. Note perfect, timing exactly. And of course, everybody clapped. Now, at the end of the service, the old minister, he was to get up and he was to close at 10 or 15 minutes, just bring a wee word. And he too had decided, felt dead at the Lord, to sing the 23rd Psalm. Well, the timing just wasn't right. He wasn't hitting the right notes, the alto, the tenor, and the bass. But whenever he had finished singing, they weren't clapping, they were crying. There was hardly a dry eye in the room. And people were asking, what's the difference? And the professional singer got up and put his arm around the minister, and this is what he says. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd this morning? Was there a time in your life where you saw yourself as a sinner, saw yourself as a lost sheep going astray from the Lord, and you heard his voice, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest? And if you come to him, can you say this? We often sing it, but can you sing it and say it in truth? The Lord is my shepherd. There's a wonderful relationship here. And let me just add this little bit. Who or what made Billy Coulter to be a gentleman, to be a gem, to be a good man, a gracious man, a giving man? Well, I want to tell you, the answer is Jesus Christ himself. It was the power of the indwelling Christ and the love of Christ in and through Billy's life, the grace and goodness of God that had such an impact upon his life and character that made him the man that he was. He wasn't this way just by himself. It was the grace and goodness of God because he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I know the shepherd. Intimate, personal relationship. Have you that today? Notice, secondly here, and I'll be conscious of time, there's the wonder of arrangement. It says in the psalm, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, it's all about what the Lord is doing in our lives. You've got to think of the shepherd-sheep relationship. The sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd makes every arrangement and provision for the sheep. Here's the shepherd's role. He's the provider. And in the New Testament, we read, in him we move and live and have our being. You see, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, is the center of our lives. He goes before the sheep. He doesn't drive the sheep. He leads them. And everywhere the sheep go, he's there first. It speaks of rest, contentment, peace, tranquility. And no matter what happens in the journey of life, there's this recognition that he's in sovereign control, that he's guiding, that he's leading, that he's providing. And you see, that's the way that the late Billy Coulter lived his life. My times are in his hands. Every day, he took it one day at a time. And all the events that happened, good and bad, Billy could say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, the scripture says godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's the wonderful arrangement. The Lord was providing for Billy, meeting every need day by day on the journey. Also here, there's the wonder of companionship. Because it says in verse 3, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, there's a pathway here. Yea, though I walk. You've got to think of the journey of life. The journey of life from the cradle to the grave. I said to some people yesterday at a funeral service up in North Antrim, you know, life is like a big train journey, and we're all getting off at different stops and at different times. There's a day to be born. There's a day to die. And in between that is life itself with all its ups and downs. There's a pathway here. There's a principle here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, late Billy Coulter had a good life, and he would testify to that. And he loved life, and he had a zest for life. But you know what? It wasn't a carefree life. It wasn't a life without hardship and difficulty. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. And whatever happiness Billy enjoyed with family and friends and church activity, along with that happiness comes hard times and difficult periods. And in every hardness and difficulty, he bore it with courage and he bore it with faith. And isn't it true for all of us that life can be hard? Life can be difficult for many, even at this Christmas time. And here's how he lived. He had the happy times. Whether it was his own wedding, whether it was the birth of children, whether it was holidays, whether it was here in Martyrs, but he also had hard times. Amy's battle with illness, his own illness, the death of his lovely son-in-law Gordon. And yet through it all, even though discouraged and disheartened at many times, he kept walking in the ways of God. He did it one day at a time, trusting in the Lord. Notice there's a presence here. How could he do this? How could he cope with hardship and difficulty and problem? Because he had the Lord with him in the journey. And I say to you that today, that's the greatest of all blessing, to have the presence of the Lord with you in the onward march of life. You see, Jesus can come alongside and say, what I do now you know not, but ye shall know hereafter. And you see, like Billy, all of us have things and events and incidents in our lives that we can't understand. Things we have no answers for. Things that we can't figure out. And we certainly can't do it in our own wisdom and strength and power. We can't question God's wisdom, God's love, God's grace and mercy. Just for a moment, pause and think of all that happened to the Lord Jesus in life and death. It was all meticulously planned by God. Even Christmas, the incarnation is planned by God. And how much more then his children? We lack so much understanding and so much knowledge. And I want to say to you today, even when you can't trace his hand, you can still trust him in the darkness and in the difficulty. And Billy could teach us that because he had the presence of the Lord with him. And one day when we're in the glory, then all the mysteries of life will be revealed and made plain. But there's a peace here as well. He says, I will fear no evil. That fear is real to many. Anxiety and life. The reality is for Billy, Billy was not afraid. Why was he not afraid? Because he could say, thou art with me. He was in the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death is a different, the valley of the shadow of death is a different valley from the valley of death. And he knew that the shadow couldn't hurt him. Why? Because he had a wonderful peace Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, peace is not just a feeling. Let me describe peace for a moment. I said this to Billy on one occasion. I shared it with him when he was up at the nursing home again, whispered this into his ear. I told a story one time in Carrickduff of an art competition, and it was to paint the scene of perfect peace. One artist, he painted a beautiful sunset, and you can think of sunsets, Helens Bay, Castle Rock, Port Stewart, or whatever. Another artist, he painted a young couple walking hand in hand, madly in love, and with their backs to the canvas and their faces to the sun, walking through a forest glade in the evening, and the light and the leaves falling. Again, peace and tranquility. And another artist, he painted this scene of a raging sea. And in the raging sea, he put a rock. And you could almost hear the sound of the wind. You could almost see the waves coming over the top of the rock, and the white crest of the water spraying off the rock. And in the rock, he had a hollowed out place. And in the rock, he had a little dove. And he wrote on it, perfect peace. Peace in the midst of the storms of life. You see, that peace speaks of safety and certainty and enjoyment. That's peace with God. That's the peace of God. I wonder, do you have such peace in life's journey? You're on a pathway. And you know that on that pathway, there's happy times and hard times. And I want to ask you, have you got the presence of the Lord with you? Do you know that peace today? Because there's a prospect here. He says in the 23rd Psalm, in verse 4, thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. You know what that rod was used for? Not for beating. When I went to school, I thought the rod was for beating you, and so it was. Not allowed to use it now, but we could say thank the Lord for that. But anyway, the rod was used to count the sheep into the sheepfold. How did the shepherd know there was one sheep missing? He had 100. Because they went under the rod. You think of Billy Coulter in the early hours of Wednesday morning, breathing his last and slipping out of time into the presence of the Lord. He went under the rod and he was counted into glory. One of his own sheep. That's a great prospect. Have you that? He had that prospect. He had that hope. I want you to think also as we close, the wonder of contentment. He says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A prepared table. A precious truth, anointing the head with oil. A plentiful treasure. My cup runneth over. See, it all speaks of contentment. It speaks of joy. It's the offspring of that perfect peace. That's why he could say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Because the Lord was providing. The Lord was meeting his need. And what about, as we close, the wonder of fellowship? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was David's great confidence. Not only in this life, goodness and mercy. Tasting the goodness and the mercy of God on a day-to-day basis. But also in the world to come. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, he was a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That's already been told. Psalm 84 and verse 10. And he was a faithful doorkeeper. And he knew the role and job of being a doorkeeper. But he knew that one day the great doorkeeper of heaven would open that door for him and receive him into glory. He had that confidence and he had that assurance. He lived in light of his fellowship and communion with God to go to that heavenly fellowship and that heavenly communion because his sins were forgiven, because he was enabled to live and walk in the ways of God by the grace of God. He had this assurance, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that heaven's called the Father's house? And for the late Billy Coulter, when he breathed his last, it was absent from the body and present with the Lord. His earthly remains is in the casket. But where is he today? He's with Christ, which is far better. He had that assurance. And it was all attributed to this. He could say, I know him. I know my Redeemer liveth. The Lord is my shepherd. Have you got that relationship today? I put it to you that you need to. You need to have that assurance. You've got a soul. You know you're a sinner. You need to be saved. We call upon you, if you're not, to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to hand back to Dr. Brown. Thank you.